Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 15 of the GC Podcast. I'm Anthony Mullins, and I'm your host, and it's February. And it's cold outside, and I'm ready for summer. How about you, Joe Brandon? You ready to do this? Get some sunshine and some warmth and the beach time. And I know how you like to take long walks on the beach.
Oh yeah. I love... No, I don't, actually. I like looking at the beaches from a distance. I don't like getting burned.
Yeah. Oh, you're one to talk, man. I am the sunburn king. But on today's episode, Joe's going to talk to one of his mentors, Pastor Mike Ermey. He loves this guy.
I do.
And he shares his thoughts on how technical teams have a deeper purpose than just the technical aspects of the church. This is not just for technical teams, but it's for pastors and especially worship leaders. What do we mean when we say technical team, Joe?
We're talking about those people that work back in the booth, usually in the audio visual. So they do the sound equipment, they do the lyrics, they do the lighting, all the technical aspects to make sure that you can hear and see the service.
Yes, they're important people. I noticed that people notice when things don't go well with the technical yeah. aspects of a service.
Oh, yeah.
So this, and I know you. You're a tech junkie, so this has got to be an episode you're highly, highly excited about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But let's talk about an announcement. There is coming up soon a denominational celebration this year. Matter of fact, the date is July 29th through August 2nd. What do you say, Joe?
I would have to say, first of all, I believe it's held in Charlotte, North Carolina. And
Charlotte.
What blows me away, mm-hmm. Anthony, that's only like... what, 4 or 5 months away?
I know, right?
That's what's insane.
Oh, it's coming.
It is.
And the great thing is, I live in Hickory, North Carolina, which is just an hour away.
Oh.
It's
going
to be like a short, sweet drive down Highway 321, and I'll be here for the big celebration. And we're expecting people from all over the world, including the Philippines.
Yep.
And probably other places, too.
yeah. I don't know. Probably Africa.
Africa.
South America.
Canada.
Yeah.
The Caribbean. We know. We yeah. love you guys.
But this celebration theme is focused on hope.
And this is how we're going to do it. We're going to have breakouts.
Yes.
Inspirational messages.
All right.
We're going to do that about the Hope Venue, which is your Sunday worship gathering. And guess what, folks? Dun, 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 dun. There's going to be plenty of time for hanging out, being friends, relationship time. It's going to be there at the denominational celebration.
And you know, if you're not registered yet,
yes,
you just need to go get registered. And let me tell you.
What are you waiting on if you're
exactly.
not registered yet?
I mean, are you good, bro? No, you can go get registered and get more info at gci.org/events/2020.
Could you give that one more time, Joe? You said it so well.
Oh, sure. gci.org/events/2020.
All right, folks. Today's the day. Go get registered, and we will see you at this year's denominational celebration. All right, let's jump into this episode, Joe's conversation with Mike Ermey, as he shares how technical teams have more of a deeper purpose than technical aspects of a church.
In the GCI studio, we've got Pastor Mike Ermey, who is a husband, a father of two kids.
Yeah.
You are a grandfather of roughly nine grandkids, pastor at GC Surrey Hills. He's a camp director, leads worship. He also helps his son with a cheer business.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, because that's not enough, he was kind of bored. He decided, I'll do a master's as well.
On the side.
Yeah.
On the side. A little on the side.
He has been in Grace Communion International for many decades.
Yes.
And he loves the church. He loves the community. I've said this about him before, that he actually just plugs in. He doesn't sleep. He just plugs into the wall, and that's how he re-energizes. And I have known him for about 15 years. Yeah. Is it? I think it's been about 15 years.
Try 16 and a half.
16 and a half years. Yep. Working on 20 years.
Yeah.
And so he's in the studio. Welcome. Welcome.
Thanks, Joe. It's great to be here with you.
I don't know what to call you, actually. It's like
no one does.
Pastor Mike. Yes. But it's like, do I call him Mike because we're on a podcast, or because I always call you Mr. Ermy? Yes. I have for years.
It has been a few years and things kind of changed.
Yeah. So glad that you're here. And the topic that we're going to be kind of talking about is something that you have a lot of experience on, and you actually mentored me in a lot of what I know about this topic.
We've had a lot of experiences together.
Yes. We really have some
technical things.
Yes. But we're going to talk about the tech team and the audiovisual stuff at church. And so we're going to kind of dive a little bit into that and what it means to be a tech team and how you view being the sound guy or the visual guy, any part of the tech team. How do you view that? But first, give us a little bit of background of, like, why should we trust what you say about technical aspects? Like, what kind of experience do you really have?
But Joe, I have dabbled with these kinds of things for most of my life. For whatever reason, I was really, back in grade school, just really taken with what was audiovisual then, which was simply a 16-millimeter film projector. You know, I thought that was an amazing machine. And so when they would have films in class, I was the one who ran the film projector because I wanted to learn how, and I did.
Yeah.
And the teachers found out that I could do that, and so I did that throughout and throughout the grade school years, and kind of graduated from there into doing kind of the, what was at that time, we didn't think of it as technical support, but setting microphones or doing lights or whatever for stage productions in junior high and high school, for chorus and show choir and plays and things like that. So dabbled in that a bit. It was just kind of a fun thing to do, and I got to be a part of all the different school activities. And in fact, there was a little underlying thing there too, because as I got into that, like in high school, I had kind of the free run of the school. I could come and go because I was on that team. No teacher could ever count me tardy for a class or anything because I was delivering films to another classroom. And so I kind of got, a little free hall pass. So it was kind of fun and special. But that was the earlier years. I carried that on, interestingly enough, into college. And I needed something to do to earn some money. And went to work for the local television station and did sound and video in actual live production with an ABC television affiliate.
Wow.
There in town. So I got a lot of professional experience just as a helper and ultimately as a projectionist, sound person, video person, and so on in live television. In the years following that, I became very active in our local church, and there, of course, is always a need for someone to help out with sound and that type of thing there. So I dabbled in that, and in those years, we were traveling to festivals in different parts of the country, and helped out with those teams as well in large productions. So I had an opportunity to do very small production in a small church with a small sound system and one or two microphones and, a microphone on a piano for hymns. And then large production at festivals where we had 12 to 15,000 in the house.
Wow.
And a chorus of 200 on the stage and an orchestra of 100 and miking all of that and so on. So very large production as well. And in some of those years, we started into the video era as well. With video projection and satellite connection back to the home office for messages to come. So I got to dabble in a little bit of everything and just enjoyed working as part of that team.
I knew that you did big festivals, but you never I guess I made the mistake of never asking what size these festivals yes. were.
Yeah.
I was just assuming maybe a couple of thousand people and maybe, you know, 20 people up on stage. We're talking there's like 1,000 people on stage.
Major, major production. And the number it's of crazy. Open microphones and everything on these large choruses and miking, you know, whole sections of orchestras and everything. It's pretty interesting business.
Yeah, and, yeah.
A lot goes into that, but it's really special to watch it take shape, and then the effect it has on an audience of, you know, tens of thousands when it's done well.
Yeah,
and sounds good, but it's also potentially challenging to get good sound and right sound delivered to a huge venue like that from a very huge stage as well.
Yeah, and when I came on board, and it actually started the relationship with you and I, as far as you mentoring me in some of this stuff, was at camp.
Yes.
We were doing camp, and you know, we had a kind of a smaller sound system. It was kind of a piece together type thing, and using a lot of it was old equipment. Yeah. I think probably before you showed up, it was all old equipment.
It was old or somewhat borrowed equipment.
Yeah, yeah. And you started mentoring me just in the sound equipment. I just want to kind of like dive right into what is your stance and viewpoint when it comes to being an audiovisual person on in a church? What does that mean? Because I know a lot of tech people, it tends to be more task focused, and they have this particular task, and in some cases, unfortunately, they end up also being formed to be as like kingdoms. I never got that from you when you were mentoring me. You never sat there and slapped my hand when I wanted to try something, you know.
Yeah.
You were always open. So what is your viewpoint?
Well, mine probably comes from a little bit different direction than some other people that are on technical teams and so on, because I've participated across a pretty broad range of things in church and camp, church camp, church youth camps, as well as churches. And one of the other areas I've had the opportunity to participate in is worship leading, being part of a worship band and that type of thing. And of course, one complements the other. You know, we need a technical team if there's going to be music or sound or video or what have you. And of course, we need the team up front on the stage as well. So there's this aspect that develops sometimes in churches or camps or what have you, where the sound team is kind of a separate department. They're a service, you know, to whatever is going on live that needs the technical support, but almost a separate department from the rest of what is happening in that particular venue. And that's rather unfortunate. I noticed that early in my career, because there was this tension about, you know, how are things to be done and who determines what needs to be done and so on. So that it lends to what you mentioned, that possibility of kind of building a separate kingdom, different department with its own strategies and goals and purposes. And having dabbled on both sides of that fence, it became obvious to me, especially at a point where I was tasked with building a worship team for our festivals, a live praise band, and actually as a worship leader for that band, but also putting together the technical team for that, for sound and video, lighting, and so on. And I came to realize very, very quickly that the wall needed to be broken down. So my philosophy has always been, since that first festival that I built the opportunity for worship and support of not only support of worship, but the entire festival, was to make that really all one team. After all, if we talk about, let's say, a church worship service, we are there for worship. all of us, and we have different roles. Yeah. Somebody's the pastor and speaker, and somebody is handling, you know, things in the kitchen, and there's all sorts of areas. But when it comes to worship, I find it's most effective if we're all one team. What I'm saying there is that the musicians, worship leaders, and so on that are at the front, and those technical, those folks that provide the technical support, typically involving sound, lighting, video, or computer projection, that type of thing. I find it's best if they're all one team, working together for the same common purpose of bringing together the church family, or in a church youth camp, the whole camp, bring them together in worship. And so working together is just hugely important. And that's the approach that I've taken over the years, whether I was at the front leading worship, or whether I'm at the back, you know, as part of the technical team. If we work together, the whole point is to bring everyone into a posture of worship with the best possible sound, lighting, video, music, and so on. And by working together, it's more effective to be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that whether you're in the band on stage or whether you're the technical support, it's all for you, it's the worship team.
It's all one worship team, and it all lends toward accomplishing that that objective of bringing the entire congregation or group to worship. So it is one team. And so let's take an example. You know, if you're the person playing guitar in the worship team, you want to know your music and do that, play that instrument to the best of your ability to again provide for the opportunity for those attending to come to an opportunity for worship. Well, my philosophy, because there are people tends to be at the back of the hall, not up front where everybody sees them, but there's a person running a sound mixer, running the computer, the lighting console, what have you. And I find that what they do is just as important as the person playing the lead guitar.
Yeah.
Because after all, if the person running that sound mixer isn't doing his job, we're not going to hear that guitar.
Right.
We're not going to hear it well, or it's going to sound bad. But so view it this way as a metaphor. The guitar player needs to play his guitar, and the drummer needs to play the drums. The vocalists need to use their instrument, their voices, and the person on the sound mixer needs to play his instrument as well. He has a device that does the mixing of microphones and music and so on, and that needs to be done in such a way that the drums, guitar, and voices all sound wonderful and bring everyone to an attitude of worship. So the sound guy is playing his instrument. He's contributing. It's not a musical instrument, but it certainly is an important part of the chain. The person running a computer, maybe delivering the song lyrics, is actually a worship leader. If that person is putting up the lyrics at the right timing, and not only just when we sing the first word, but actually it has to lead a little bit. It has to be ahead. If that person is attentive and understands the music and is doing the job well, they are really leading worship as well. So the person at the computer or the sound mixer or even a lighting console setting a mood, they are part of the worship team, help bringing an attitude and posture of worship to the entire crowd.
How do you try to create that kind of culture when you may have that segregation of, you know, the technical support department and then the worship team is actually just the band on stage? How do you break down those walls?
Yeah. You know, in anything in life, breaking down walls is a matter of communication and relationship. To accomplish that, there has to be a oneness and the realization by each individual that they are part of a team, an important part of the team. And so So as a result, in any particular opportunity we have for working together with musicians and technical folks, we bring them all together. We bring them all together in the planning. We spend time together, not only in practice and setup and that type of thing, but also, you know, wherever we can in a social basis as well. Spending time together creates bonds and appreciation for what each person contributes to the whole. So it starts first with relationship, like anything in life, and also, you know, a continuing appreciation for what each member of the whole team is contributing, whether that's, you know, a lighting console person or an awesome bass player. You know, each one is very important, and by helping them feel important and also appreciated for what they contribute to the whole, and working together through the entire process from planning to practice to the actual worship service makes them all feel, you know, at one, and also be able to enjoy the good fruits of what comes from all the work they put into it.
And since you have you've had the privilege of being on both sides of the fence, you've led worship bands, and you've also led with the technical team. I want to ask you two different questions.
Yeah.
If you have a sound person or any kind of audiovisual technical support person that is wanting to create that kind of relationship with the band and create that unity between the team, what would your suggestion be to that technical person on to develop that and nurture that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. My suggestion would be that they take whatever opportunity they have to build a bond with the others that they hope to serve, and maybe it's some time spent outside of the practice or setup or what have you. Oftentimes, if we're going to be working together on an effort, we probably ought to just get together and get to know each other and know and appreciate, you know, who we are and what our interests are, and maybe things, you know, that are outside of the effort itself, you know, appreciate each other's families or outside interests, and those sorts of things will really help as well. So it's good if you're wanting to create that type of relationship to actually approach the others or other leaders that are in charge of, you know, another part of the effort and say, how can we work together to make this the absolute best it can be for our God? And therefore, you know, have that oneness and togetherness. So we need to look for a venue to really pull each other together in that way and show that we want to contribute and make things the best they can be. How can I serve you? How can I serve your needs? And that needs to be from both directions, whether it's from the musician's end or the tech team. And we both want to say, you know, how can I help you do the very best for your part in this very important effort?
That's I want to circle back to that.
Okay.
Because you said the word how. Mm-hmm. And in the sense of you're asking the question as the technical support or the musician, how can I help you?
Yes.
Rather than the no.
Yes. Yes.
Because there's too often times that I've worked with with sound technicians that the worship leader will ask for something, and you see this audiovisual person, this tech person, sit there and say no, and it's like, and I've noticed your posture is never from the no. It's always from the how.
How can we do this? How can we achieve? Because, you know, the only reason that, let's say, a musician is going to ask a technical person to do a particular thing is because they have a vision of something that could be if we can accomplish it technically, but I need your help. You're the technical person. So it's a matter of looking at it from the standpoint of, here's my vision for what we need to accomplish in this entire effort, or here's what it is just for this particular song or even this particular section of this song. We need to do this. We need to emphasize this musician or that piece of the music, what have you. How can we do that? and you know, to cooperate together and arrive at a point of cooperation to say, yeah, let's work together on making this the best we can. But that comes from a heart of, you know, togetherness and relationship and appreciation for what the other person is doing, to be able to say, yeah, I see you're trying to do something here. How can I help that? How can I help make that possible? And that's not going to happen if we're, you know, concerned about doing things the way we've always done them or the way we see them, but instead looking at it from the other person's perspective and from their needs. Knowing that if we begin to see things from another's perspectives and needs, that we're going to have a better final outcome.
So it's having a heart of serving the other.
Yeah. We all need that. We know we all need that. And this, you know, works against that that aspect you talked about earlier of, you know, a separate department, you know, sound, worship, and so on, where we're, you know, I have my own goals that I want to accomplish. And if that's the viewpoint of each side, we're not going to be able to meet in the middle or beyond the middle, because we need to go beyond just, you know, meeting in the middle. We need to extend ourselves, whether we're with the worship team or with the sound team. As I said, it's one team. Say, how can we together make this the best it can be? So for a musician to say, you know, Mr. Soundman, you're the best at this. You know how to make this equipment work. Here's what we'd like to accomplish. And this may be a little different from what we've done in past times, but how can we do this other thing that will really produce something wonderful that will be helpful for our congregation to really reach a level of worship that we're looking for?
So what you're saying also is, of course, it starts with the relationship between the musicians and the tech team, and coming together on a different common ground than just trying to battle against the spotlight, more or less. But there's also an approach of even how, like, for a worship leader, from what like the example you were just giving, how a worship leader can approach a tech team without just steamrolling, saying, "I'm the worship leader, I want it this way." You sat there and said, "Hey, you're the expert in this. I don't know if it's even possible to do this." You know, is there a way? How can we make this work?
How might we be able to accomplish that? And then allow that person to be at their best to try to find a way to do it. It may or may not be possible. There may be a creative way that we haven't thought of yet. But I think, you know, in working together in that relational way that that we discussed earlier, it will bring everyone to being at their best, to look at creative ways of doing things better, to serve everyone, you know, on the entire team. And as I say, it's one team. Just as the lead vocalist appreciates very much the piano player who is, you know, providing the background, there's a great appreciation and oneness, and has to be a flow, a dance between the voice and the music provided by the instrument. It's no different between a vocalist or a worship leader or guitar player and the person at the sound mixer.
Yeah.
They need to have an appreciation of each other and flow together what each does to make it the very best for the purposes that in common that they have, and that is, you know, ultimately for the worship, to lift the congregation to worship and to glorify God.
I like, because you have done this with me even when I've had some kind of dumb idea that I think would be great at camp, that we want to light something in a particular way, or, you know, do some kind of transition or something to that degree. I've come to you as the expert. You are the expert, and I've requested this and asked you, you know, is this even possible? The fact that I came to you and said, hey, I want it exactly like this, you know, but it's like, hey, this is the idea that I'm kind of having and everything. When I would do that, it usually ended up being way better than what I could have ever thought of.
Yeah. Well, again, I think when you would come with something like that, it would be with an appreciation of whatever skill I might have, and trusting that I could probably find a way to do this. And I received this with an appreciation for what you were trying to accomplish, because you were trying to do something very special for the people. Mm-hmm. If there's that appreciation flowing both ways, we're both going to try to do the very best we can.
Yeah.
Not for selfish purposes, but for very unselfish purposes.
Yeah.
And that's how we work together as a team. So that's how we arrive in, instead of it, no, or I've never done it that way, at, well, you know, we can't do exactly what you have in mind, but here's a way we might accomplish something similar. Would this work for what you're trying to do?
Yeah.
Because technically it might not be possible. That's okay, but that's not saying no. It's saying, let's work together and find a solution that ultimately is going to produce something, again, that'll be a very good outcome.
It seems to always have to come back to the vision, mm-hmm. and why we do what we do.
Yeah.
Why is it that the musicians are up there on stage doing what they're doing? Why is it that the person at the sound mixer, the person at the slides, the person at the lights, why are we doing what we're doing? And it's almost like we lose that focus, and it needs to be refocused.
I think so. And for anyone, whether a musician or a technical person, we have to go back several layers in that why. What's our life about? It's to glorify God.
Yeah.
And if we start from that, then in terms of whatever technical expertise I have, if I'm using that, not because this is my job or this is my assignment today, but because, okay, I'm here just like everyone else in the entire team. I'm here to do something that will help glorify God and be edifying to all of those who are going to be gathered. That's a whole different motivation. That is a motivation than to do the very best we can with whatever skill we happen to have. And that goes for a person running a computer or a sound mixer or a person playing the bass guitar or the drums.
Yeah.
I don't see it as anything different. Each one has a gift that they're bringing. And as we put all those things together and blend them together with the best that we can do, it produces something that is, you know, a very good outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mr. Ermey, Mike, Pastor Mike, whatever it is.
Whatever I am. Just don't call me late for dinner, okay?
Really appreciate your time on this. And I know we could keep talking because there's so many different levels. Or layers, I guess, of all of this. So really appreciate you being here and sharing just a very small, small piece of your knowledge and experience.
Yeah, well, it all comes back, you know, if I can close my piece of it to where we started fundamentally with relationship.
Yeah.
You know, our God is about relationship. Even these things, whether it's music or technical or, you know, a combined team as it should be, relationship is what makes it go, and that's our life in that particular aspect of bringing worship.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome, Joe. Great to be here with you.
Another awesome GC podcast. You know, Joe, as we think about that conversation you had with Pastor Mike Ermey, I want to tell and share with you a point that stood out to me. You know, he was talking about how every part of the worship team, whether it's technical, instrumental, the vocalist, everybody has a part to play in it. And it works when there's an appreciation for one another and how that works in terms of the greater flow of inspiration in the worship service. I mean, and that happens through intentional relationship. And he mentioned how valuable it is just to spend time together outside of the Sunday service, in relationship, breaking bread together, because in and through that relationship, trust is built and a cohesion to the team, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. When we were in Dallas and Megan became the worship leader in Dallas, she brought the whole team together. We were trying to figure out what's the first steps that she needs to make as the new worship leader. So she's a new person there in the church, mm-hmm. a new leader in the church, and all these people have served on the worship team for years. So she thought, what is it that we need to do first? And we were like, we got to start with the relationships. So she called together a worship team. I'm doing the little rabbit ears, the quotations. a worship meeting, but we did it at our house, and we shared a meal together. We had one of the guys that is on the worship team. He's an Irishman. He brought Jameson whiskey with coffee, and he made Irish coffee. And so we sat there and just had a meal together. We invited everybody, not just the band, but also the technical team. No exaggeration, that was the defining moment when everything shifted for that team, as far as feeling like they are as one team. Mm. And it was just amazing that very next Sunday how much of a difference there was in the environment on that Sunday morning gathering.
So the moral of the story is bring Jameson and everything changes?
If that's what you got out of it.
No, I hear you, and I second that emotion, because there is no replacing relationship. And I will say this, I'm learning this and will always be in this ongoing process of learning, that whatever investment of time you make in relationship and developing team outside of the Sunday service, it will pay significant dividends.
Yes.
In terms of the unity that's experienced by everybody in the fellowship. You can see it. You can't fake that. It's real, and it shows up in the flow of the service. So right on. Another great podcast, and I want to remind our listeners, be sure to check out all the resources in the show notes at the resources site, which is resources.gci.org/GC podcast. And as a quick reminder, because we need to be reminded, Joe.
Yes.
We're getting older.
Yes.
We need to be reminded of things. The 2020 denominational celebration registration is now open, right now. And the theme is what, Joe?
Oh, focused on hope.
And I think they can register today. And I think they want to. I can feel it.
You know,
on the other side of the microphone, I can feel the listeners go, I want to register now. So what did they do to do that?
Oh, well, you need to go to gci.org/events/2020. Let me say that one more time. gci.org/events/2020.
Joe, it's been great doing this with you.
It's been
fun. You are the man.
This is fun.
And we will see all of you on the next episode. You better show up, y'all.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.